From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And it is such a delight to be talking to you today. We would love to have your commentary on travel. So give us a call, 800-848-9222. And to get the discussion started, the question of the day is, what's the best place you ever stayed on vacation? It could be a hotel, it could be a rental home, it could be something in between. What was a place that really kind of burrowed into your heart? For me, it was a place called Villa Mango in Costa Rica. It was in this area of Costa Rica called Nosara, which was on the Guanacaste coast, which is a lovely coast of beach resorts, but it's gotten a little honky-tonk in places. Not so much Nosara, because Nosara is mostly an animal shelter. It's mostly kept pristine, and it's also a big expat community, so they had better food than they did in most parts of Nosara. But the thing that was so great about Villa Mango were the hosts. It was run by these two folks from Colorado. I think their names were Agnes and Joe. I'm hoping I'm getting that right. And they were just so lovely. Every day they would somehow gather all the guests. There were probably 10. We'd get into the most fascinating discussions, and they'd play games with my kids. And they were so lovely when my kid got ill. Suddenly she sat up in bed at about 1 in the morning and said, "I'm feeling sick," and then threw up all over the bed. And we had to knock on their door, and I felt so guilty. But they came in, and they were so gracious, changed the sheets. And to me, that was the loveliest place I've ever stayed, because Agnes and Joe had that gift. They had the gift of hospitality that really makes a place special. To me, it's about the people, I guess. It was a nice-looking place, too. It was up on a hill. You had to take a road down to the beach, but it didn't matter. You got nice cooling breezes that way. It was simply decorated. It wouldn't win any design awards, but it was just lovely. Well, what was your favorite?
Well, I think that your story probably put some ideas in listeners' heads, and they're going to want to share their favorite places. And to do that, just call us, 800-848-9222. It doesn't have to be about your favorite places that you stayed. It can also be about your upcoming vacation. And we take all kinds of calls here happily for the entire hour.
True.
Do it now, though, because we always tend to get people calling at a mad rush in the last 10 minutes.
I know.
And we have to race through people. So call now, 800-848-9222. Now, I think I'm going to come at this question from another angle. I had a really interesting experience at Brown's Hotel in London. Mm. As you know, Pauline, I write the London guidebook for Fromers, and so I'm there a lot. Brown's is one of the most famous and oldest hotels still operating in London. It's been going since 1837.
Wow.
It was a favorite place for Queen Victoria to hang out. I mean, there's such a long history. The first phone call, I think, was received there in the Alexander Graham Bell.
The first transatlantic phone call, I'm assuming.
No, I think the one he was testing out, I think it was from Scotland, but I'd have to look into it. But he's testing it all out. And Mark Twain famously appeared on its steps in his bathrobe, scandalized the press in 1907. They thought, who is this American? We love him. But what happened to me is I stayed in a room called the Kipling Suite. Now, Brown's has a history among writers. It's where Stephen King began Misery, the book.
Interesting.
And when he was staying there, but it's also where Rudyard Kipling finished The Jungle Book right before he died.
How wonderful.
In this suite. And there's still the Kipling Suite. You can rent it. And when I swear to you, I'm not a ghosty person, but when I woke up in the middle of the night in the Kipling suite where Kipling finished The Jungle Book right before he died, and I saw a maid in one of those, you know, gray and white maid's uniforms with a towel over her hand at the foot of my bed. And when I sort of rubbed my eyes, she went away.
Wow.
And that, so I saw, it was a scary feeling, but it was definitely a feeling of a long history in that room. And it's the only literal ghost sighting I've ever had. Either that or I was half asleep. But isn't that what ghost sightings are half the time anyway?
I think so. I think so. Fascinating. Okay.
Brown's Hotel. Yeah.
Very different than mine, but another lovely one. Well, we have some calls. Let's turn first to Rose in Westchester. Rose, you are live on the Froward Travel Show. We thank you so much for breaking the ice and being our first caller today.
Great. You gave me wonderful recommendations last year. We took a trip to Ireland, and now this May we're going out west to Las Vegas, the Grand Canyon, and Sedona. And I was just wondering, in any or all of those places, is there like something that we shouldn't miss doing?
Well, you're going to have a lot of time driving. I hope you have enough time. To my mind, this comes from somebody who wrote a book once on Las Vegas, mm-hmm. I think the better way to do it would be to fly into Phoenix and do Phoenix, Sedona, and Grand Canyon, just so you don't have to spend as much time in your car. You're going to add a lot of travel time by doing it the way you're doing it.
Okay. That's a great recommendation.
Okay, good. And then in terms of recommendations, you need to go under the rim at the Grand Canyon. You don't have to go all the way to the bottom, but the world shifts when you just hike a little bit under the rim. The Bright Angel Trail is the easiest one. Mm-hmm. And it's easier going down than coming up, obviously, so bring a lot of water with you. But it's you think, oh, it's this big hole in the ground, but really it's this majestic, ever-changing sight. And do take some of the ranger talks and walks there. They'll really enhance your understanding about what you're seeing. And then if you do end up going to Las Vegas, if you ignore me, I think one of the best things to do in Las Vegas, this is going to sound bizarre, but is the Atomic Testing Museum. The Atomic Testing Museum, there was all of these tests in the desert right outside Las Vegas. And so it makes sense that that museum is there. It's an offshoot of the Smithsonian, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Fabulous. I have a suggestion. I never would have known about that. Yeah.
Just about less than an hour west of Sedona is this incredible little town called Jerome, with a J.
Oh, yeah,
and
been there.
And it's been around for 130 years or so. It was a mining town, and it just one of those boom towns that sprang up all across the west. And it clings to this hillside, so you kind of have to zigzag up to get to the top of it. You're 5,000 feet above sea level. And at the top of it is this old, creaky hotel. And since I guess we're on a ghost theme now with me today, it's said to be incredibly haunted. But it's a lot of fun to walk around. Now a lot of artists live there.
Yep.
It's a great
shops.
Place to go in and out of galleries and see what they've made. But it is a great – not only do you get the feeling of the artists who are there, you get the history of Arizona, which you don't often get in the natural setting when, as you'll see in Grand Canyon, it's about the canyon. But this is about the American history of the place. So it's great to get that into one of these road trips.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Rose. Let's turn next to Joan. Joan is calling from Ledgewood, New Jersey. Joan, you are live on the Froward Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I were planning a month-long trip to Australia, and we're going in the month of September. Our thoughts were we didn't want to really just do a tour like everyone else. We wanted to, like, rent a car and see as much of the country as we could. So we were planning on, like, flying into Melbourne and going, like, the Great Ocean Road, Adelaide, Kangaroo Island, and Sydney. Is it doable, like, driving? I mean, I've heard that,
that's a lot of ground to cover. Picture Australia in your mind, and I'll lay it on top of a map of the continental United States. They're about the same. So when you're going between Melbourne and Sydney, you're kind of going between Chicago and New York. So what I would try to do if I were you is break it up a little bit with flights. I don't think driving from Melbourne to Adelaide would necessarily be the most enriching drive the whole way through. The Great Ocean Road is fantastic. That's a terrific choice, but that only extends about 6 hours west of Melbourne. Between Melbourne and Sydney, you get more into the hills. You can stop in Canberra. That's a bit more interesting, but it's still a very long drive. What I would do is I'd pick up little cheap flights. Qantas has the Air Pass that you can add on. Are you flying Qantas?
Yes.
great, because they'll give you the option to buy cheap flights. I think you can buy two or three as part of a package, and they're not that expensive to get you in between some of the greater distances. Adelaide is a little bit further away from the east coast of the country, where things are a bit denser. You're more getting toward the desert when you're in Adelaide, so the drives can be a bit more, tedious sometimes. So I'd think about that. Think about the distances that you're going to be traveling. It's more than you think.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Thanks, Joan. Let's next turn to John in Queens. And John, I understand that you have a favorite hotel that you want to discuss.
Yes. Hi. How are you? I love your show, and thanks for taking my call. There's Greenport, Long Island, a very underrated, but the beautiful hotel is the Harbor Inn.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost as if you're in, you know, your own house, in, you know, summer house, and it's beautiful, right by the beach, and you know, you have a full amenity inside your little hotel room, which is kitchen, you know, two bedrooms, and it's affordable, you know, $100-$150.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I had a really good time when I went this summer, and look forward to going again this upcoming summer.
Okay, well, thank you, John. We appreciate your calling. We have to take a break, but to Olan, we will get to you after the break. Anybody else who wants to call us, our number is 800-848-9222. And before we go, I do have a word from our sponsor, who has an important message to give, which is, you need protection when you travel, because things go wrong on the road. They go wrong at home. They go wrong at the road. Allianz Travel Insurance can help you protect your travel investment. That goes for both domestic and international trips. It goes for car rental insurance. They'll sell you it for $9 a day, which is less than you'll get for most rental car agencies. They can also cover travel delays, lost or delayed luggage. They can help you if you need expensive medical emergency treatments or medical evacuations. To learn more about travel insurance from Allianz and to find a policy that fits your next trip best, visit allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com. And that's right, you are listening to the Frommer Travel Show. We're taking your calls. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 800-848-WABC, which translates to 800-848-9222. And Olin has been very patient waiting over the commercial break. Thank you so much for sticking around, Olin. What's on your mind?
Hey, Pauline, thanks.
Sure.
I've really enjoyed your guys' show over the years. Just wanted to know that.
Thank you.
Okay, this is my situation. I'm kind of debating, in about 2 weeks, I'm debating between Tokyo and Shanghai. Okay, I've heard Tokyo is very expensive, but one thing I really want to do as far as Tokyo is concerned is ride that bullet train.
Well, the bullet train goes outside of Tokyo. Right now, Japan isn't that expensive because the American dollar is whooping most every other world currency, and it's the Japanese yen has lost a full third of its value. So if you've ever wanted to see Tokyo, now's the most affordable time to do it. That being said, I mean, depending on how you do it, you might, I don't know, Jason, do you think he'd pay less in Shanghai? Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. Okay. But also, you just named the bullet train as something you want to do. Can you name something in Shanghai you've always wanted to do? Maybe this is the tipping point that makes you realize which one you want.
Well, I would like to see the wall. That isn't.
But that's nearer to Beijing than it is to Shanghai.
Yeah.
Okay, that's closer to Beijing. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So maybe that answers your question to a degree. If the question was about making your choice about which you prefer to do.
Uh-huh. And let me ask you this. In Tokyo, considering now would be a good time to go, what would be the best area to get around to do that? I mean, as far as to stay there, I mean, where would be the area in Tokyo where you should stay?
Well, I'm a fan of the Asakusa neighborhood. It's kind of old Tokyo. So there's a lot of beautiful temples. There's gardens. It's a little less frenetic than other areas of Tokyo. But mm-hmm. there's other fascinating areas, too. It really depends on what you're looking for. Tokyo, if you're going to take the bullet train, take it from Tokyo to Kyoto, where you really will see more of old Japan. Tokyo is this bustling city with more people per square foot than you ever could imagine possible, of glass and steel skyscrapers, even more so than New York.
I agree. Okay, and it's not like the kind of city where you have to choose one neighborhood over another. There's something happening all across Tokyo. And wherever you stay, you're going to end up traveling to the neighborhoods you're not staying in, because there's something mm-hmm. to see everywhere. So I wouldn't agonize too much over that. I mean, the one consideration is, if you're going to take the bullet train early in the morning, do you want to be near Tokyo Station? And that's Akihabara is about two stops away. But even that's not trouble, because you can get a taxi any time of day or night in Tokyo.
Actually, more so than what neighborhood you should stay in is maybe what type of accommodation you should get. They have a couple of these in Tokyo, but in Kyoto, there's a lot of ryokans. These are traditional Japanese inns where you stay in a room that has tatami mats all over the floor. And just mm-hmm. before you go to bed, somebody comes in to roll out a futon and give you a glass of green tea. And there's a big soaking tub for you, which you actually sit upright in. And it's very, very hot water. They fill it for you. And it's a real experience. It's a wonderful thing to do.
And that's in Kyoto, correct?
Well, there's more of them in Kyoto, but there are some in Tokyo. And they don't tend to be more expensive than regular hotels. And here's something I like about them. They tend to be women-owned. Traditionally, this is a business that women were very important in. And I like that. I like supporting women where I go.
Okay, and how do you spell that? Ryokan?
Ryokan. R-Y-O-K-A-N. We have a fabulous book called Frommer's Easy Guide to Tokyo, Kyoto, and Western Honshu, written by a woman who's lived there for decades. Pick it up. I think you'll find out everything you want to know. We have to go on to the next caller, but thank you so much, Olan. Let's talk next to Cromilda. Cromilda, did I say your name correctly?
Yes, you did. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Yay.
Well, nice to speak with you. What's on your mind?
So we're planning to go to Ireland in May, sometime mid-May, for maybe 8-9 days.
Uh-huh.
We're planning to maybe go to Dublin and then down to Cork and Shannon, around the, I guess, along the coast.
Uh-huh. That sounds...
We were wondering, this is the first time, so we were wondering what kind of tips, if that's the good places to visit, if there's something else.
Those are lovely places to visit. I mean, the thing about Ireland is it looks like a small island. I've said this before, but it's a lot of winding back roads. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take you longer to get from place to place than you think it will. So I love the fact that you're only choosing three places. I would say spend 2 days in Dublin. You can see its highlights in that amount of time. To me, Dublin is very much like a lot of European cities. It has some great things, but it's not a spectacular city. To me, what's really special about Ireland is the countryside, is the smaller towns like Cork. Shannon's okay. I mean, Shannon people mostly go to for the airport. Are you going to be flying into one and out of the other?
No, that's not the plan.
Have you already booked your tickets?
No, we have not.
Because you actually can do that usually for the same price. So you'd be able to see more if you fly into Dublin and fly out of Shannon. Then you could rent a car one way and see more of the countryside rather than having to double back. I'm a big fan of the Dingle Peninsula. There was just a wonderful article in the New York Times about it. It's the center for traditional music in Ireland. And so you go into these pubs and people just wander in and they have what are called sessions where people bring their own instruments. And because they know the music in general, they know these traditional tunes, everybody just joins in. Mm-hmm. And it's this wonderful, incredible vibe to be part of. It's a party where everybody's the musician. And on the Dingle Peninsula are all of these ancient ruins, cairns, parts of castles, you know, lots of sheep, lots of the electric green grass that grows in Ireland. I mean, to me, that's one of my favorite areas. So you might look at that, too.
Sounds great.
Jason, did you want to pop in? Or are you You good?
No, I think you hit that pretty well. Dingle is a little off of the itinerary that you laid out. It's an hour or two west of Cork, but it's certainly worth a detour. A lot of, and there's famous for its dolphins as well, and it's a dolphin excursion.
Well, there's a dolphin in the harbor named Fungi. And you take a boat out, and Fungi was a wild dolphin who just loves people. And so when you take the boat out, he comes to the boat, and he plays, and he cavorts, and just because he likes people, apparently. Or maybe because they're feeding him. I don't know. One of the two. But anyway, thank you for calling, Cremilda. Have a lovely... I think it's impossible not to have a wonderful time in Ireland. So don't worry about messing it up. You're going to have a great time. Thanks for calling. Let's move to Joan. Joan is calling from Roslyn, New York. Joan, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you. Joan, are you there? Oops, we don't have Joan, but you know what? It's time for a break anyway. So Joan, hopefully we'll be able to get you back on the line. Harry, hopefully we'll talk to you. Once again, our number is 800-848-9222. If you give us a call, we'll chat with you right when we get back from these messages.
I'm Arthur Frommer. For nearly 60 years, the Frommer Travel Guides have been among the top bestsellers in travel books, and I think I know why. Though they are colorful and entertaining, they deal with travel in a serious manner. They regard travel as an essential part of a civilized life. They do not shy away from controversy. They take strong stands. They encourage their authors to be immensely critical, both pro and con, in reviewing travel facilities. And their only client is the public. The Frommer Travel Guides now deal with every major destination, and they are on sale wherever books are sold, either in bookstores or online. I hope you'll try one for your own very next trip. And with that thought in mind, I wish you a very hearty bon voyage.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz Travel Insurance. Visit Allianz travelinsurance.com and give us a call. 800-848-9222 is our number. That's the number that Joan called. Apparently she's back. Joan, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Pauline.
There we go. Nice to speak with you, Joan.
Same here. We're thinking of going to Colorado at the end of May or the beginning of June, and we're into hiking and nature, and we'd like to stay in a condo for a week, but we want something that's centrally located, but we don't know where to stay.
Wow. Well, you have so many options in Colorado. I'm a big fan of Loveland, and not only because you get to have that postage stamp stamped Loveland, but it has a lot of national parks around it that you could drive to easily. You might also consider the Mesa Verde area, another fascinating national park, which will combine hiking with nature.
Well, we were there already.
You've been to Mesa Verde. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm thinking right, but maybe Aspen or Vail area, but that's why I don't know.
Well, ooh la la. Yes,
Colorado Springs, I don't know.
I mean, if you go to Aspen or Vail, that's pricey. But you'll have the best food in the state there. You'll have lovely little boutiques where you can get very chic hiking boots if yours wear out on the trail. Lots of great trails around there for hiking. But those two resorts are now as popular in summer as they are in winter. So it's going to be pretty pricey.
I would think when looking at Colorado, it's a huge state, and only the western third are the Rockies. The eastern half to two-thirds, they're flatlands, essentially, going their way to Kansas. And the I-25, which cuts north-south through Denver and Colorado Springs, is sort of the dividing line between mountain and not mountain. So it sounds like you want to stay west of 25. Colorado Springs is largely a military town, so I think it's a little too far from the action, the hiking action, than what you want. Pauline's suggestion of Loveland is good. Boulder is good. It's got a really interesting granola feel. A lot of students. And they're both Loveland and Boulder are near the entrance to Rocky Mountain National Park. So the hiking will be well mapped and well policed, and the trails well maintained there if you want to. But there's tons of backcountry hiking if you have that kind of experience to try.
So Joan, what time of year will you be there?
The end of May or the beginning of June.
End of May. Okay. I don't think when I was there, I was hiking in the national parks around Loveland. And it was moose mating season. And we found that out because we heard these otherworldly woo kind of calls out of nowhere. We had no idea what was going on. And then we came to a clearing and there was a whole group of people with binoculars watching the action. It was absolutely fascinating, but such a gloriously beautiful area of the country. I think you'll really enjoy the hiking there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan. Let's talk next to Harry in Brooklyn. Harry, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. My wife and I have been to Italy 4 times. She has relatives there, and she used to be fluent in Italian, my wife.
Uh-huh.
She still can speak a little. The two nicest places I ever went to were in Sardinia and Lake Como.
Huh.
And I recommend them to anybody. We stayed in a little town called Stintino because her cousins, who have a house in Rome, have a summer home in Stintino. And they recommended a hotel to us that was on a hill. I think it was called the Cioccolato, but I can't really remember offhand. It's not a fancy hotel, but it was up on a hill, and when you walked down one flight, the restaurant was right underneath your room, which was amazing food.
Hmm.
And then when you got that, they had a beach, but it wasn't a really big beach, but they had a very big pool. And the beaches in Stintino, the water's so clear, there's no sharks because it's more or less a bay.
Well, that's good. And that's always good.
The coolest thing I've ever seen at the beach, there was a mound of sand when the tide went out that was about 5 feet wide and about 50 feet long, and there were push carts on the mound selling clothing, jewelry, etc.
Wow.
In the water.
Well, how wonderful. It sounds like a delightful place. So we started out by talking about where the best places you've ever stayed have been, and you would say these hotels in Sardinia and in Lake Como. Santino, or the town that you're discussing, where exactly is that in Italy?
Stintino. It's northwest in Italy. It's an hour and 10 minutes from Alghero Airport.
Okay, so near to Rome, then. Fairly near.
No. Oh, Rome. Well, the island is of Sardinia is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, a plane ride.
Okay.
You don't want to take an 8-hour ferry.
No, absolutely not. Well, thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it. You know, one of the things we love to do is talk a little bit about what's happening in travel, because sometimes wacky things happen. Like in San Francisco. Jason, tell about the new toll that they're thinking of putting in.
Sure. Yeah. Before I do that, let me throw out the number one more time for people who want to call but missed it. That number is 800-848-9222. Lines are clear. We'll get you right on. Now, in San Francisco, we might have heard of Lombard Street, which is that street that goes wiggle-waggle. It curves for an entire block, and it's crowded with cars, people who want to zigzag their way down the hill. Lombard Street started out about 100 years ago when cars were first invented. People who lived on that block had a hard time getting their cars up the hill, and they couldn't figure out what to do. So they made the road zigzag. They got permission from the city to zigzag, which is why the street is like that. And now it's beautifully planted. One of the residents keeps the flowers green and you know, blooming, and that's a huge tourist attraction. But it is too much of a tourist attraction. There's traffic backed up, especially on weekends, people all around the world who want to zigzag down Lombard Street. So now a proposal is up to charge a toll for that block of crooked Lombard Street, which, and it makes me laugh because Lombard Street is not even the crookedest street in San Francisco.
Right.
There's a street called Vermont Street 5 miles away that's technically crookeder because the curves are even tighter, but no one goes to that one. They go to Lombard Street because it's right in the middle of town at Leavenworth. So what would you pay? I don't know. I don't know how much it's going to be because it hasn't been approved yet. But would you pay her $4 or $5 for a 45-second ride down the zigzag of Lombard Street?
To me, it's madness. I wonder what street in New York they would start charging a toll on. And what do you have a guy? I guess it'll be Fifth electronic. Avenue. Fifth Avenue. Yeah, suddenly you have to pay
Anyway, I say walk up Lombard Street when you're out there because everyone goes. Don't drive. You miss it. You're sealed in your car. But if you walk up, there's staircases on either side. You meet the gardener who's tending things. You smell the flowers. It's a completely different experience, and it's really good exercise. So that won't take a toll.
All right. Well, we have a call coming in from Emmanuel in Parsippany. Emmanuel, thank you so much for calling the Fromer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. You have a great program. Last November, we were in Athens and stayed at a wonderful new boutique hotel called Athens Was.
Hmm.
And it only has 22 rooms. Some of the rooms have views of the Acropolis, which is only 5 minutes away. And it's a short walk to the new Acropolis Museum.
Which is a wonderful museum.
Oh, it's a fantastic museum. And there are very nice restaurants around the corner. It's in the area of Athens called the Plaka.
Uh-huh.
Lots of nice shops.
Sure. Yeah.
And the new hotel only has 22 rooms, 5 stories, only 4 rooms to a floor. And it's just a wonderful hotel.
Oh, well, thank you. So it's called Athens Was, like W-A-S?
That's correct.
Interesting.
Like Athens used to be.
Ah, Athens, intimate and well-located. Well, thank you so much for calling, Emmanuel. We have to take another quick break, but we promise we're going to get right to your questions when we come back. 800-848-9222 is our number. Back in a flash.
Most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran, the Fromer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
That's right. You're listening to the Fromer Travel Show. We're taking your calls at 800-848-9222. That's the number that Frank called. He's calling from Franklin Square. Nice to speak with you, Frank.
Hey, Pauline. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing
Hi there.
Great.
Outstanding. I have a question. I was falling asleep the other night watching the news, and I saw a very small piece of an airline that's going to fly out of Stewart in Westchester to Ireland for $69 one way starting in June.
Well, yeah, that's probably Norwegian Airlines, right, Jason?
It is. It is. But that was a promotional fare, which got it on the news, right? It was $65. Right now, those are sold out, but they're doing it, I think, for $99. But Norwegian is trying something new. It's a airline that has been flying all across Europe as a low-cost airline, meaning there's lots of little fees for your luggage and stuff, which adds on to that low fare. But now they're a splinter company is offering flights across the transatlantic, and it has the major carriers, the established carriers, in a tizzy because they believe $65 or $99, it's not sustainable. These prices cannot stay this low no matter what. And they might be right. It might be a publicity stunt, but their goal is to have low fare. So even if they're not going to be $65, they might be $125 one way. That's still pretty good. And they hope to be around to stay. There's a lot of resistance to Norwegian among the established carriers. They're lobbying Congress to get them to shut them down. They're complaining about their hiring practices, which I don't know much about. But it's a turbulent start for this airline. We're going to see how they're able to do as prices become more regular and the resistance becomes more entrenched. But for now, Norwegian is flying a lot over the eastern seaboard across the Atlantic to Europe this summer. So it's a good moment to look at Norwegian to see if they're going to or from where you'd like to go.
Yeah, so okay. I hope you're going to Ireland now, Frank, and thank you for calling. Let's talk to Dick next. He's in Vernon, New Jersey. Thank you so much for calling the Fromer Travel Show. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, hi. So what's on your mind?
Well, oh, okay, I'm on.
Yeah, you are. I'm Pauline Fromer. You're live on air, and everybody is dying to know why you called.
Well, one of the favorite places my wife and I go to, we've been here 4 times, is the small island of Anguilla.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
North of St. Martin.
It's, now, what do you like about it?
I like its quiet, peacefulness,
It's not overly developed yet by the big hotels. We did stay at the Cuisinart up the road from Capchaluca, a relatively expensive place, but the beaches are tremendous. The restaurants are 4 or 5 star rated. The big thing is the people.
Yeah.
I don't think you could find a friendlier island. Most of the places that people own as businesses are owned only by the residents of the island. You can't come in and buy a big swatch of land and build some condos like they do in some of the other islands.
Oh, that's great. So it keeps it from being overdeveloped and keeps it within the local economy. I got to say, this is totally off the subject, but when you're talking about the lovely people, our winter intern was from Anguilla, and she was probably one of the most talented, lovely interns we've worked with. She was here studying journalism in the United States. So thank you, Dick, for calling. We really appreciate you giving that shout-out to Anguilla. Let's talk next to Sheila. Sheila is calling from Deal, New Jersey. Sheila, you're live on the Fromer Travel Show. Do you have a favorite place?
Oh, yes, nostalgia, the Concord in the Borscht Belt. Singles weekends, the dining room, and let me think. Oh, it's just great.
Does it still exist?
No, unfortunately, I know it closed about 20 years ago, and things have been talked about reopening, but it was fabulous. It's of a genre that is long ago and far away, and I miss it terribly, and it was a great family, singles, everyone enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Sheila, for calling with that reminder. Jason?
You know, there's so many people who agree with you about all those hotels and what they call the Borscht Belt. And they went out of style. But I think there's so many people who are curious about it and are hungry again for a really interesting city getaway. It's surprising that some of these old places haven't come back yet.
I think they had a real sense of community to them, right, Sheila?
Yeah.
I mean, that was part of the appeal.
Oh, definitely. We had friends that we had made there. My daughter, who was a teenager at the time, made loads of friends. And it was a captivating event for everyone of every single age, young, old, and it could, just unbeatable.
Well, thank you.
And unfortunately, it went gone with the wind because of the airlines going to Europe and affordable fares.
Well, maybe it'll come. Maybe something like that will come back. Thank you, Sheila, for calling. We're going to squeeze in a call from John before we go to commercial break. John's calling from Manhattan. And John, I think you have a favorite we've already heard about on this show.
Yes, it sounds like I was beaten to the punch.
Yes. So what is your favorite place to go?
Well, I have two favorites. First is Cuisinart in Anguilla, which is just a magical place. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's a beautiful beach. People like that other fellow said, the people are just wonderful.
And that's a resort, the Cuisinart Resort.
Yes, Cuisinart Resort, yes, in England. Yeah. And they have their own hydroponic garden there, so all the vegetables and fruit and salads you eat, picked that day.
Wow.
They have a bocce court there. They have cooking classes. It's just a wonderful place, beautiful beach, beautiful pool, and it's very compact. It's not one of these big spread-out places.
Right, right.
And in fact, my wife and I are going there next Saturday.
Oh, lucky you.
And well, the other place is La Semana in St. Martin, which we're going to the week after. We're going to spend a week in Cuisinart, and then we're going to La Semana in St. Martin for another week. So that's another
favorite. All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you sharing those ideas, and maybe some of our listeners will book their next trip to one of those two. We have to take a break, but before I go, I have an important message from our sponsor, which is that even when you go to beautiful places like we've been discussing on the show, sometimes things go wrong. You might lose your luggage. You might get ill. You need someone on your side, and that someone can be Allianz Travel Insurance. They cover international travel. They cover domestic travel. They sell rental car insurance for as little as $9 a day, which is a real deal. As well, if you get sick when you're abroad, you want someone helping you find a doctor or, heaven forbid, paying if you have to be medevaced out, because that can cost tens of thousands of dollars. Well, Allianz covers that. They also cover lost or delayed luggage and more. To find a policy that's right for you, go to Allianz Travel Insurance at Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
I'm Arthur Frommer, and my daughter and I are co-presidents of Frommer Media, LLC. We call it Frommer Media because we use three different kinds of publishing to bring you valuable travel information. First, we present the weekly Frommer Travel Show on radio, whose candid advice you are currently hearing. Second, we publish travel guides, which we modestly believe are the best in the business. And third, we produce an online website called Frommers.com, which brings you travel advice that you can't find elsewhere. Its highlights are hotly opinionated blogs about travel, slideshows of valuable travel options, reviews of hotels and restaurants, and much, much more. I think you'll be pleased to add the tips and tools of Frommers.com to our radio show and our famous guidebooks. I'm Arthur Frommer.
77 WABC. This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. We have a couple of people on the line in about 6 minutes, and we're going to try and get to them all. So let's start with Ed in Westchester. Ed, very quickly, what is your question?
Hi, I'm really interested in going on a camera safari tour in Africa. I think that the animals there are being decimated at a rate that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to see some of them before they're gone. So I was hoping that you might be able to give me some tips on maybe a tour guide or agency that's reliable to go there.
Yeah, there's a British company called Exodus that has a very, very good reputation. It tends to be greener than some of the other companies, tends to give back a lot to the local folks there. Jason, do you have any thoughts on travel to Africa? There's also South African Airways Vacations. They actually do a good job, mostly because they have people on the ground who know Africa in and out. So I would look at both Exodus and South African Airways
and
Vacations.
You also don't have to take a tour. The first time I ever went on a safari, I self-drove. I rented a normal car at the airport at Johannesburg, drove it to Kruger National Park, and spent like a week just driving myself. And I saw it, the Big Five, as they say, all on my own. They have little places where you can stay all throughout the park that you just book ahead of time, and you show up at the gates at sunset. So you don't have to take a tour. You need to make a choice of whether you're going to go to a game reserve or like a national park. A reserve sometimes will stock a private land with animals, so you're guaranteed to see them. And national park is you find them if you find them. So you kind of decide, do you have to see everything, or do you want to go more in a natural state?
Well, I really wanted to find out what part of Africa you would suggest would be the best place to go to.
That's hard to say. I mean, it really depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the Big Five, they say that Kenya is best. But Rwanda is now open to travelers. It's safe again, and there's wonderful nature opportunities there. And you enjoyed South Africa, right, Jason?
And Botswana is also, they've done really good job kind of building their upscale safari tourism. So you're more likely to find a nice luxury trip to Botswana. But it all depends on the time of year you want to go, because some times of year it's dry here and not dry there. So it really, there's a lot of little factors. But I think all the places we've just named, Rwanda tends to be a bit more about jungles. But you'll find game in Kenya, Tanzania, which sometimes they call Tanzania, or Botswana, or the eastern part of South Africa, closer to Zimbabwe. So there's a lot of places you can go, depending on the time of year.
We got to move on, Ed. Thank you for calling. Let's talk next to Jim. Jim is calling from Long Island. Jim, you're live on the Frommer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Sure.
Planning a trip to the Amalfi Coast in May, mm-hmm. and was originally going to rent a car. However, doing more research, it appears that it's not the most relaxed area to drive, so perhaps taking tours would be better. So I really have two questions. One, is Sorrento really the best place as far as a centralized location? And do you agree that renting a car is not necessarily a good idea?
Well, you know, there are other things you can do besides renting a car and taking a tour. You could take the ferry up the coast, and that's a wonderful way to do it. Renting a car depends on how confident a driver you are. It's a lot of hairpin turns on cliffs, basically. So you have to be a really confident driver, and when you're driving, you might not be able to get to see what you came there to see.
Exactly.
So that's why a lot of people take tours or just take buses along that drive, or even better yet, I think the ferry is a wonderful way to do it. In terms of where to stay, my heart goes to Ravello. I think that's the most romantic of the towns along the Amalfi Coast. It gets a lot of honeymooners, gorgeous old mansions that people stay in, piazzas that you walk in, slightly less crowded than other Amalfi Coast towns. I would look at Ravello first.
Okay. Well, that's great information.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can squeeze in Bob. Bob's calling from Cranford, New Jersey. Bob, nice to speak with you.
Nice to talk to you. Would like to some recommendation or tips go to Easter Island?
Oh, boy. Jason, do you have this one?
Yeah, you'll probably go through Chile. Most people spend 3 or 4 days there to see everything there is to see. You'll find yourself slowing down the minute you get there. Also look into LAN Chile Airlines, which will do the Easter Island trip. Sometimes also will bring you to Papeete in French Polynesia, in Tahiti. So you can combine them all on a single trip on the same airline. I would look into if they're still offering that. But yeah, about 3 or 4 days would be about the right amount of time for Easter Island. But you'd go out of Chile, which opens up Santiago to you as well, because you'll be flying through there.
I see. Is there a particular, you know, tourist agent or that you recommend it or no?
Gosh, there are many. I know the G Adventures does Easter Island, and they tend to be affordable, and they run smaller group tours than the norm. So you won't be with like 40 other people. You'll probably be with 12. So I would look at G Adventures. You might also look at Intrepid Travel. They're very good for that, too. Ah, I'm hearing music in my ear.
There it
we
is.
Have to say goodbye. To those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.
You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, shh, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.